during these times, I mean, obviously 2020 has been just an interesting year, but I think we're also at a point in, you know, American history where, you know, like a lot of history is being made this year, you know, and representation in media has always been a fight, I think, especially for people of color. That we have been fighting for, but it really has been ramping up and you really see the effects of it. You know, you think about when we were kids, how rare it was to see an Asian person on TV that had lines,
right?
You know, and how that affects us growing up as being American. Are we American enough? Are we Asian American? Never American enough? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, to be able to think that, you know, there might be other little girls out there who see Asian faces on TV, Asian queer faces on TV, and feel that they're represented and feel that they have a voice and feel that, you know, they can relate is a huge, huge deal.
I never knew the importance of work-life balance until I had my son. I wanted to create a platform to inform single mother, lady bosses, that you can do it. This podcast is all-inclusive, safe haven-based, designed for women, a woman supporter to grow in all areas of their lives. I want to talk about fashion, health and wellness, work balance, work life, entrepreneurship, gender role stereotyping, single motherhood, and so much more. Thank you all for listening to Evie Unbounded. And once again, I'm your loving host, Evie Jane.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Evie Unbound. Today, I'm super excited to have this amazing guest, actress, who have returned to us from Asia. She's Chinese American, she's a native Mandarin speaker. And I know you also speak another dialogue. We're going to ask her about that. Her name is Kara Wang. Hi, Kara. How are you?
Hi, Evie. I'm good. How are you?
So, I know you speak Mandarin fluently. Mm-hmm. When I was taking my mom and my son for the reopening of Seattle, good friend Catherine's restaurant, I was talking to my mom and you heard my conversation with my mom and you turned around and said, you speak Mandarin? And I was like, wow, you speak Mandarin? So, this is how me and Kara kind of bonded. Like, we both realized we can speak Chinese Mandarin fluently. But do you speak another dialect?
Yeah, I speak another dialect because my parents are from Hangzhou in southern China. So in Hangzhou, we speak Hangzhouhua, which is like the Hangzhou dialect. And it kind of sounds a little bit, yeah, it kind of sounds a little bit like the Shanghai dialect, if you've ever heard that before, but it's like completely different than Mandarin.
So with someone who speaks, this is just, I'm just curious, right? So
yeah.
Someone who speaks Shanghai dialect, Shanghainese,
yes,
and they understand what your dialogue, or it's still completely different?
It's a little bit similar, but it's still different. So like if you listen really hard, you'll hear that some words are similar, but it's not the same dialect.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad, when we were talking about it, my dad's from Zhejiang. So
yeah.
When I was growing up, they speak, you know, Zhejiangese is how they say
it. Yeah, Zhejianghua. Yeah, I guess it depends what region he's from. Yeah.
Exactly. So I used to know how to speak it because my grandfather, my aunt, my dad, they would use that dialogue if they don't want us to understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
So that's the dialogue they were saying. But I remember my grandfather, when in the morning, because he take care of me when I was little, and then we're going to go get mantou, right? Which is like this Chinese bread.
Yeah, mantou, yeah.
So then he would tell me in Chinese, like, let's go get mantou. You know? So even now, when we have dinner, family dinner, you know, it's kind of nice to hear the auntie still speaking in that dialogue. And I'm sure it's the same way for you. I mean, does your family speak that, or they speak Mandarin?
Yeah, so my parents, when they speak to each other, they speak Hangzhouhua, which is the Hangzhou dialect. Mm-hmm. When me and my parents speak, we speak Mandarin mostly. Mm-hmm. But when I go back to Hangzhou and I talk to my grandparents, we speak Hangzhouhua because that's the only thing they speak.
Isn't that, it always gives me like a warm feeling because it kind of reminds me of my childhood when I was little and a part of this who I'm from, like where I'm from, you know?
Anyway. Totally. Roots.
Exactly. I know. Were you born here or how?
Yeah, I was born here. So I was born and raised in the States. So, you know, I was here for my whole childhood and through all of my schooling. my college degree in the States as well. I went to UC Irvine for my theater degree. Oh. And then I moved to Asia as soon as I graduated. But yeah, I was born and raised here.
Wait a minute. So the fact that you were born and raised here, how did you get to speak Mandarin so well?
Yeah, it's so funny. People always ask me.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry. I have dogs in this house.
It's okay.
I'm like, every time I do an interview, I'm like, let's hope they're really good.
What kind of dog do you have? Please share with us.
I have two little ones. I have a little like chihuahua and a little terrier.
Oh, how cute.
When people walk by the window, they get very like guard doggy.
Rhesus, Indy, down please. Oh, so that's the name. That's awesome.
Yeah, okay. Rhesus and Indy. Sorry about that. I know, and I love how it's like a podcast too. Half the time I'm always like, we're in such crazy times right now, you know?
So this is perfect because the podcast is for other women. It's just on daily life, how we deal with whatever the issue you're going through, right?
And right.
It's funny you talk about that because I literally, well, my partner just got a dog. So he's like calling me. He's like, she's driving me crazy. I can't sleep. I'm going to be coming over.
Oh my God.
So don't worry, I get that.
Okay, sorry about that. Going back to your other question. So yeah, I actually get that all the time about like how my Mandarin is so good. So I'm sure you're wondering about that for your son as well. You know, I mean, your Mandarin is obviously flawless, but it's really hard to learn at home, like just from your parents, you know?
Exactly.
So I went to
Chinese school. Race here. Yeah.
Yes. So I went to Chinese school for 10 years. You know how they have a lot of Chinese schools in the San Gabriel Valley?
But I feel like the Chinese school never really helped. That's what a lot of my friends said. I mean, a lot of my friend was born and raised here, just like you. And the piano was sent into Chinese school. And we can't speak much. Until we got a Chinese school friend.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, because you're totally right. You know what? I'm so sorry. I'm going to give them both a bone so that.
Okay, sure.
Be quiet. Hey, come here. Reese's. Okay. You guys are out of control.
The audience, everybody out there, this is the day-to-day life of all the.
I know. I'm so sorry, everybody.
No.
This is our new quarantine times.
This is what real life is, right? So it's not easy to see Kara. Kara's gonna. We're gonna get there. Kara's in it.
I know, right? I'm like the dogs are.
She's gonna be this upcoming movie, which I'm so excited about, on Maverick, and she's also on Hulu, Good Trouble, which I have to admit, I don't watch TV, but after she mentioned that to me, I literally went up and Googled it and just saw a little part of it. It's pretty cool. Anyway, we're gonna get there, but I'm just, this is really cool because you really see women, so like always glamorous and pretty and out there and smart, but there's also they just like everybody else, they just like every other woman, right? So anyway, that's the point. Okay.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm sorry. My dogs, they're a disaster. But yeah, I did go to Chinese school for 10 years and for a lot of my friends, it didn't necessarily work that well, but for me, for some reason, it really did stick. Uh-huh. And I was very lucky that like, I feel like my Mandarin doesn't really have much of an accent as well. And I feel like, you know, with learning how to read and write, it's really hard to do that at home. Like you almost have to go to school for it. You know, it's like hard to teach your own kid to read and write because it takes so much discipline, like every day,
exactly.
You know, and there were some Chinese schools that were, I think, weekend only, Saturday only. I actually went to the ones that was after school.
So oh, that's I would better, go, right?
So yeah, it was 5 days a week. Yeah. And then every summer, 5 days a week. So, and then obviously I moved to China as well. And that also helped with my Chinese after I graduated college. But, you know, I was very, very fortunate that my language, you know, abilities were pretty good for being an AC, you know?
That's great. No, it's excellent. That can be good advice. So audience out there, if you are bilingual, you want your children, even if you're not bilingual, you just want your children to learn the language, I think. The weekend, once a week, is very difficult to learn. So bring them to a different country.
Yeah, exactly. Just throw them in.
Yeah, with COVID, I guess we can't. But find something. There's so many online classes now. With Evan, with my son, how he learned his Chinese is I pretty much like online courses. You have classes every Monday and Wednesday, which is
wow.
You know, my friend who started this online classes, and then mm-hmm. he would hire all the teachers in China to teach to kids all over the world.
Which yeah.
And I have to say, he actually writes better Chinese than I do now. I was writing the word like bug, and I was like, what is that? And he's like, mommy, that's
Chong.
Yeah, exactly, Chong. And I was like, what? He knows more word than I do. And then he comes to my office, and he solved the argument, and he would start reading it. I'm like, no, don't say it out loud, confidential.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Wow, your son must be, oh my god, he must be so smart, you know?
No,
2 days a week just online, like that takes a lot of self-discipline.
But I make him to write his homework every single day.
Of course you do, Evie. Good job, Tiger Mom.
Tiger Mom, right? Okay, so you went to China, after you graduated, you went to China and then doing acting, I'm assuming. How that even happened? How you decided, how they discover you, and what were you doing in China? Yeah.
So basically when I was around 16, 17, my parents moved to Hong Kong and I was still in high school here. My parents moved over there for my dad's job because he was in banking at the time. And so I would go visit them during like winter break or summer break or whatever it may be. And while I was in college, when I went over to visit them, I set up a couple of meetings with production houses, just sort of like kind of curious because I didn't know that much about the Asian entertainment business and all of that stuff as much. And I met with a couple companies and they were interested in signing me. And so I basically told them I would come back as soon as I graduated. So I did graduate early. I graduated school at 19.
Wow.
And I know, such an overachieving Asian, right? It's fine. But to be fair, it was a theater degree. You know, I was in like engineering or something.
Not typical what people, like the Asian family were expected, but it's still very any other family, right? So,
So then I ended up moving over to Asia as soon as I graduated, and I was there for about 5 years. I lived in Hong Kong.
Were you scared by yourself when you...
No, not really. I think, you know, when we're younger, we're just so much more ballsy, you know, like, I think I was scared, but I think just back then I didn't think as much about it. Like if you told me that I had to move to China now, I would be like, no, no, I don't think I can do that, you know? But you know, like when you're 19, 20, it's more just like, screw it. Let's just go. Let's see what happens. You know what I'm saying? And so I was there and I lived in Beijing for 4 years. And it was, I mean, it's so weird to actually think back to it because it seems like a whole lifetime ago. It seems like a whole different life. But it was great. It was great. And yeah, I worked as an actress over there. I worked mostly on local productions, you know, like Chinese TV shows and films and stuff like that for 5 years.
And how is like doing entertainment and then showing in China visit here? Because, you know, first of all, good that your language was very fluently, but what about the cultural difference and how they run, how they do the production? Is it any different from the US?
Oh, yes. It's very, very different.
Okay.
Extremely different. I mean, I'd say the biggest difference for actors is that there's no unions over there. Okay. So in the States, we have SAG, right, which is the Screen Actors Guild, which is the union that protects actors. And so there's a lot of rules, you know, everything from what's the minimum you can be paid to how long you can be on set to when your breaks are. Like, it's a very stringent set of rules. Mm-hmm. And in China, there are no unions. So it's sort of just like a free-for-all, you know, based on what you're comfortable with. So in that sense of the word, it was probably the biggest difference. But like I said, I was there in 2010. I got over there at 2010, 2011. So that was almost a decade ago. And you know, things in China move very, very quickly. So I have a lot of friends who are still in China doing, you know, in the entertainment business. And they told me it's changed a lot. Because in 10 years, you know, China, in 1 year, you know, the change that happens is monumental.
Exactly.
But when I was there in 2010, 2011, it sort of felt like the Wild Wild West a little bit, because I'd say the, you know, film industry was just starting to really, really blossom. You know, I would say 10 years ago is also when there was a massive influx of money for Chinese economy. And, you know, there was an influx of money being pumped into all of these different industries, but there just weren't as, you know, there weren't like an established set of rules. So everything really was like a free for all. You know, you go on this production, you shoot, you do it, then you're done. But there's no, you know, it's like kind of a little bit all over the place. Yeah. But they do get it done, and they do get it done very efficiently.
But you're like, how that even happened? But it's like for us, for the US, I feel like we like to have a rule. Like you said, here with this union. So that must be like a big adjustment for you.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why I was saying, if, you know, they need me to, like, they wanted me to go back now for long term, it would be much harder. Versus, like, I feel like when you're younger, you know, it is more just like, put your head down, do the work, hustle, hustle, hustle. Not that I'm not doing that anymore. For sure, I'm doing it.
Oh my God, you're like working hard.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah, 5 years ago when I came back to the States, I was very glad to be back. I think I sort of just like paid my dues in Asia. You know, I did all the work I wanted to do. I made some incredible lifelong friends, and I got like a very good chunk of experience working over there. But, you know, I was born and raised here, so like this is still
home. Your home.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. And like last year I was there, I sort of was thinking, you know, there was like an influx of Asian American representation in Hollywood, you know, and how like we need to be here to fight for that. I felt like it was time to come back because, you know, that is something that is really important to me. And obviously that is the identity that I, you know, connect to the most as being Asian American.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. I mean, I like I said, I saw your show, like a trailer, part of your show.
Yeah.
Your Trouble. You were amazing. Like,
oh, thank you.
You're funny. I mean, you're funny in real life. Everybody, if they ever meet Kara, she's very charming.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Literally, she is the way she is right now. Like the interview, when I'm interviewing you, is how you are when I met you, when we just had coffee with girls, and we just being silly talking about. But how you decided you wanted to get into theater and entertainment? Were you alone?
I was five. I started doing theater when I was five.
Oh my gosh.
So I was one of those from like a really young age. I was always involved in theater, musical theater, show choir, dance, performing. Like that was always sort of what I was interested in. And I think my parents, when I was younger, thought that it was a phase, like thought that I would grow out of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, elementary school to middle school to high school, and then obviously to college when I majored in theater. Not a phase. Still doing it.
Did it ever say, you need to be your doctor, you need to go to engineering, but they're supportive of you?
Yeah. All things considered, you know, my parents are pretty traditional Chinese, but when it came to this, they're not like super strict on the spectrum. Like I said, I think at the beginning they were like, okay, this is good. It'll be a phase. She'll grow out of it. But as they saw that throughout the years, I mean, since I was five, I've never done anything else. And I've always been very, very clear that this is what I want to do with my life, storytelling in this art form. Mm-hmm. And they slowly just, I think, started to accept it. My parents are awesome, though, and they've always told me whatever makes me happy, you know, which is lovely. And I'm sure it helps, too, that, like, I've been able to at least make some money, you know, like I'm not like a starving artist on the street. Like I've been able to sort of, you know, maintain my life.
It might be a different story.
Just like I live, you know, I live and survive. I think they're like, let her do what she wants.
Yeah, as long as she's not knocking all doors. Like, hi, mom and dad, can I live with you too?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. They're like, well, she's surviving. I guess it'll be fine. Yeah. Yeah.
So
they've been relatively supportive.
So how are you going to show Good Trouble, and how is it like to be on the set in Good Trouble?
It's an amazing, amazing set. So obviously every, you know, different project and different production, you meet a whole new group of people, new cast, new crew. Good Trouble is just a really, really fun set. First of all, the majority of the cast is very young. So in our 20s and 30s, because it is about the millennial experience in Los Angeles. And we have amazing showrunners, amazing writers that really do a good job with keeping an authentic storyline, authentic storytelling, I'd say is probably one of our biggest highlights because, you know, we deal with a lot of very relevant issues. BLM is one of our big underlying storylines. which is also because Patrice Collars, who is one of the founders of Black Lives Matter LA, is in our writer's room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like all of our storylines are very relevant and also are very authentic because they're written by people who actually know what they're talking about. You know, we have a lot of LGBTQ storylines as well as trans storylines.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just like very like relevant storylines to what millennials and Gen Zs are going through right now. There's also a great storyline in there about women in the tech space, you know, and how there's a lot of, you know, sexism and genderism in that field. So it's really, really cool. I do think that all of the stories that they put in there, because they're written by people who know what they're talking about, they have consultants for all of these fields, that it's just authentic. And I think that young people right now really do, you know, relate to it, you know, when a show like that holds space for them.
Do you, because the show, I think what it's representing right now, I mean, it must be very proud to be in that show, right?
Like, yes, I'm very proud to be in that show. Like it's really, really great to be part of a show where you genuinely and truly believe in the storytelling that's happening and you see the effect of it, you know, and you see, you know, like I said, the authentic storyline, like storytelling is so magical, you know, because you don't necessarily see that in every, you know, movie or TV show. But also it's like during these times, I mean, obviously 2020 has been just an interesting year, but I think we're also at a point in, you know, American history where, you know, like a lot of history is being made this year, you know, and representation in media has always been a fight, I think, especially for people of color that we have been fighting for, but it really has been ramping up and you really see the effects of it. You know, you think about when we were kids, how rare it was to see an Asian person on TV that had lines.
Right.
You know, and how that affects us growing up as being American. Are we American enough? Are we Asian American? Never American enough? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like to be able to think that, you know, there might be other little girls out there who see Asian faces on TV, Asian queer faces on TV, like, and feel that they're represented and feel that they have a voice and feel that, you know, they can relate is a huge, huge deal.
You know, I took a little peek of your show, Good Trouble, and your character, which I love because it's not portrayed as a typical symbol of the Asian actress.
Yes, definitely not.
And so I love it because
I
think, like you said, it's a good way to represent you different those ideas, right? So, so tell us about your character in Good Trouble.
So I play Sumi in Good Trouble. For those in our audience who watch the show, they probably don't like me very much because my character is, I mean, you can definitely say I play one of the villains. The actress that I act against, her name is Sherry Cola. She plays Alice and she is probably one of the most lovable characters on the show. And I play her ex-girlfriend and Sumi is not purposefully villainous. She just is a little bit self-absorbed and narcissistic, but she doesn't do anything maliciously.
Exactly.
And she does love Alice. Like, even though they're ex-girlfriends, they're still best friends. But
this is perfect. See? This is also LGBTQ.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that was such a big deal, too, because, you know, it's also very rare to see two Asian characters on screen at the same time. Like, usually if there's one, like that's
like the token, you
know, the token, the quota, we all know. And so when they had cast the both of us and the fact that we were even involved, like in a past relationship in the show was like this huge deal. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is me and Sherry, or Sumi and Alice are two very different types of Asian women as well. You know, and it's just lovely to see two Asian women on screen and like show how different we are. Like we're such two very different three-dimensional characters, you know, and one should never have to, you know, replace the other or one should ever be enough because one type of Asian woman doesn't encompass all Asian women.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a fantastic show. So if people haven't seen it, please go take a look. It's on Hulu. And don't hate me. Don't hate Sumi. She doesn't, you know better.
If you do, you act very well. That's who you are, right? So it's so real. What about the movie? I know you're going to be in this movie. You know, before I met you, I was so excited about Top Gun because that was my time. I don't even want to talk about it.
Yes.
But yeah. I was just like, I can't believe they're going to make a movie coming out. So I was very excited. And with COVID, I'm just like, when is that movie going to release? So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I had the honor and opportunity to work on Top Gun Maverick, which is the sequel to, like you were saying, the original Top Gun. Our premiere was actually supposed to be this Friday originally, but because of COVID, it was pushed back to December. So our new release date is December 23rd. And unfortunately, I can't talk too much about the film because I have signed way too many documents. But, you know, I think that people are going to love it. I think that it's the film does exactly what it's supposed to do. It's action-packed. It's nostalgic. You know, like it's like such a great throwback to the original film. There were amazing, amazing things done in this film that have not been done in any other film, which I can definitely talk about, which is the flying that takes place. All the actors are flying in real jets. Trapped on the jets, correct. Yeah. And so the like flying sequences, the action sequences like are going to be out of this world. And I think that the fans are going to be very, very pleased.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Can
you share with us what character you're going to play or your...
No, unfortunately, I can't say anything yet because it hasn't been released, unfortunately.
That's your
thing. Yes, but... Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm very, very excited for everybody to see the film. And, you know, it's such a, you know, the original Top Gun was such a important piece of American cinema. You know, like you were saying, like, you know, when it came out in the 80s, it's just like everybody knows about Top Gun. And I really feel like fans are going to be very happy with the sequel. Because, you know, sometimes sequels can be a little disappointing, especially when the first one is so iconic. But I think it's going to be equally iconic. Hopefully.
Anybody from the original movie would be on this one, or you can share that.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Anybody from the original, the Top Gun
movie? Yes, yeah. So Tom Cruise is the lead of Maverick as well. Yeah, all of that has been released, so that's
Tom. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So Tom, the sequel is not a remake of the first film, it's a continuation. Okay. Yeah, but it's still Tom, he plays Maverick. It's about like the continuation of his story. Yeah.
What's the soundtrack? Do we have a great soundtrack? No, Top Gun.
I haven't heard it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be epic. I know because the first movie is so like,
it's like
classic, it's like, right?
It's exactly. Perfect. It's like you go to the bar and then the jukebox will play that song. Everybody's like, oh, that's so Top Gun. You know?
Yeah. totally.
Yeah, so I can wait. Okay, so how have you been doing and how you've been keeping how's your life right since the quarantine? I mean, you must be really busy and how's the life?
Yeah. So production has been completely shut down and we've been shut down for about 3 or 4 months. So everybody, I think, is just sort of waiting to see when we're going to be able to get back to work. Quarantine for me, honestly, has been okay. Like, I don't want to say good because obviously there's a lot of shit happening. But all things considered, it's been pretty good just in the sense of, you know, I don't want to say good. There's a lot of crazy things happening. But, you know, I have, like I was, as everybody knows now, because they're so annoying, I have two dogs. Love them to death. Have been spending a lot of time with my dogs. I love to read. So it's just been kind of nice to stay in and read. I watch a ton of television, which I consider research and education. So it's okay.
It's true for you.
Right? I'm like, I have to research the show.
I feel like that's the best excuse for actors and actors. Right? TV. Yes.
Totally. And just been cooking a lot, drinking a lot. I have slowly started seeing friends because we get tested pretty often. I get tested every week just in case. Just like outdoor picnics or, you know, like outdoors and we all like social distance. Everybody brings, you know, a drink or some snacks. And it's been nice to see people. And then just the past couple weeks, obviously, I've also been very active in the protests. And so I've been doing that as well, which is also why I've been getting tested so frequently. But it's been good. You know, I'm very, very glad that I've had the opportunity to go out and be on the streets and see sort of the mobilization of so many people for such a obvious, you know, worthy cause. I mean, you know, change needs to happen. And it's been amazing to be marching and to be in some of these sit-ins with like 10,000 people, you know, and it's very, very powerful, very powerful.
And then I think how people handle or view COVID is really perspective, right? Because you're just so positive, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I know this is a podcast, but if people can see you, like, you always have a smile on, which is very, like, positive. And I think that that's how sometimes you carry yourself through life and just, what are we going to do? And it's all perspective and always positive.
Yeah, I definitely think that's very true. Yeah, because, you know, it's like we've had 3 months at home. You know, some people have been so productive, you know, like working out or like writing scripts and stuff, which I think is awesome. And I'm like, I sort of just gave myself permission to not do anything if I didn't want to. I mean, maybe that's just an excuse, but that's also my way of self-care, right? I'm like, there's already so much shit going on. Like, I'm not going to put pressure on myself to have to finish anything. If something happens and, you know, I do, you know, I get like a creative spark and I write a script or I get a whatever and I'm on a roll and I finish these books. Fantastic. But if not, like, you know, I feel like just sort of taking care of your mental space and taking care of your emotional space as well, because the emotional bandwidth is stretched pretty thin, I think, with all of these things happening, you know? So I think it's just important for everybody to just do what they can. You know, there's advocacy in every different type of way. So
okay. People need to realize that and they have to hear this. It's, I think a lot of time we're so busy, especially busy with it, and we don't really take care of ourselves, right?
Yes.
And then we always want to stretch ourselves to then and we kind of fall apart without really first, like, okay, what's the foundation? What's the basics? So I'm glad that you were saying that is self-care. And then, whether it's an excuse or not, you know, you should just take, not relax, but it's part of us, like, surrender, like, do as much as you can. And
exactly. Yeah.
Like, why are you pushing yourself for something that it doesn't make you happy or like who you are?
Yeah, exactly. I totally, totally agree. Just, you know, giving yourself permission.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Give yourself your permission. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Kara, for coming on the show and take your time to join. And your two little doggy. What's your doggy's name again? Two of them.
Rhesus and Indy, these loud, loud, loud dogs. I'm like, usually they're pretty good because when I sit down, they're like, this is Indy. Usually like I sit in this seat and they're
Indy.
Yeah.
Oh, can we smile? Hi, Indy. Look. Look. Looking you.
I know. He's a booger. Yeah. Usually I sit in the seat because I do, you know, do Zoom or interviews or whatever, and they're like pretty quiet, but today they were. Did not give me face today. Jesus.
What are you doing down here?
And here's the other one.
Oh, hi.
She has a bone. This is what I gave them to make them, you know, she's been chewing on her bone and now she won't drop it because she knows her brother will get it.
That's why she's so quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Aww, this is so cute. Well, Kara, thank you. And I'm so glad I get to meet two of your dog. And then everybody stay tuned for Maverick, the Top Gun coming December 23rd, right?
That's right.
Christmas holiday season. Hopefully by then there's all craziness.
I know, gosh, fingers crossed, seriously.
It will. I'm not even going to say if it's not, it will.
So yeah.
I'll go see the movie for the holiday with our family and friends. And So great. Thank you.
Thank you for having me today, Evie. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye, Kara.
Bye.
So, Kara, thank you so much for taking the time out of the schedule to join me on this episode. Thank you all my listeners for joining us today as well with Kara. You heard it here, she's coming to you guys on the big screen, Top Gun Maverick. Make sure to check her out in Freeform's Good Trouble and Amazon's partner, Go Lions. Stay tuned for my next episode, everyone. I'm your host, Evie Jane, for Evie Unbounded. Please go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Evie Jane. Remember to subscribe, like, comment, and share. Bye, everyone.